Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our Old Testament reading to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tiras. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphat, and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Ra'amah, and Sabteca, and the sons of Ra'amah, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah, and Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Anamim, and Lehavim, and Naphtuhim, and Pathrusim, and Kazluhim, out of whom came Philistim and Kaphtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboim, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. The children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Salah, and Salah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat Almadad, and Sheleph, and Hazarmavet, and Jerah, and Hadoram, and Uzal, and Diklah, and Obal, and Abimael, and Sheba, and Ophir, and Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we read in the last chapter, didn't we, that from the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the whole earth was overspread. Remember that the command to Noah was that he would continue on the work that was given to Adam. The things that Adam was given before the fall persisted after the fall because the mission had not changed. It was just that now it would be undertaken by a champion redeemer rather than by Adam and his sons who had failed and would fail. But the mission didn't change. Marriage, family, labor, rest and worship, All of those things were before the flood and continued after the flood. So Adam was commanded to subdue the earth even after the fall. Noah receives the command to replenish or to fill the whole earth. And the implication is clear that he's supposed to take up what Adam failed to do. Now, under this new covenant that God had made with Noah, that the earth will support their spread, and then they would indeed, in turn, return that earth to God for his glory. They are to subdue it for his sake. All right, so here we have three sons by which to do this, but really only one son, which is of that covenant line that carries that spiritual requirement with it, and that would be the sons of Seth, or I'm sorry, Shem, the Shemites. Okay, so first Shem, and then, I'm sorry, first Seth, and then Shem, and then from Shem down to Abraham. And keep in mind that the understanding of the scriptures as this is presented to us is that this single line here gets smaller and smaller as it goes down throughout history, doesn't it? Right? So we have, it's not all the sons of Seth, right? But it's Shem. But it's not all the sons of Shem, right? It ends up being Eber. But it's not all the sons of Eber, right? It's Abraham. It's not all the sons of Abraham, however, right? But it's Isaac, and so on. And this keeps going on, this kind of straight line movement with all of these families that fall to the left and fall to the right. This is God's design throughout history. But here after the fall, men are required to spread over the earth once again. God speaks to Noah and says, it is from these three sons of yours that the whole earth will be filled. The word is translated as replenished. It simply means to fill it up. To fill it up, rule over it, govern it, to take control over it for the sake of the Lord. So Japheth is mentioned first. He's the oldest brother. And we note once again here, as it is often true, that the godly one is not what you would expect. It's not the way of all the earth where the rights of primogeniture are everything. Normally, it's the second or third born that is the spiritual heir, right? And we see that very often. All right, but we talk about the sons of Japheth first. And when we talk about Japheth, let's assume here that Mount Ararat, the one that's being spoken of, is at or near where Mount Ararat is today in, you know, northern central Turkey, okay? And that they were to spread themselves out three different ways. Three sons going three different ways to begin with that kernel there and to go out over the known world and to begin to take control of it and to subdue it for the sake of their creator. So where does Japheth go? Japheth goes to the west and to the north. To the west and to the north. And so we have several names that are used here. Javan, well, that's an ancient name for Greece. Elisha for Crete. Tarshish is toward the west of Greece, toward Corsica and Sardinia. Those are the two islands that are west of Italy in the Mediterranean Sea. Tiras is Italy. Meshach is middle western Turkey. Gomer is northern Turkey in the land between the seas Black and Caspian to the north. Ashkenaz remained around Ararat. Riphath is completely unknown. Scholars are, they don't really know where that is. Togarma is northeastern Turkey, where the Armenians are today. Notice I did not say Armenians, I said Armenians. Magog into western Asia, Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia also. And then Madai is where the Medes are. Okay, so it's basically a north country to the west and to the east. But notice also the Isles of the Gentiles. And so as far west as they want to go, the Japhethites go. Okay? All right, so now we come to the sons of Ham. And notice there are four sons of Ham. Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. All right, so Cush, the Cushites, they're the Ethiopians and the Africans, south and west from Turkey. Okay? Then you have this son of Cush. His name is Nimrod. His name means the invader or the rebel. His home country is near Ethiopia, but he founds his four principal cities in the land of Shinar. That is in Babylonia, which was given, wasn't it, to the Shemites. So he becomes an invader and a rebel to the design that God had had. And so away he goes, all the way over to the land of Shinar. He rebelled against the God-given bounds of his habitation, that is the prescriptive, right? God prescribed that he would stay in this area, but he did not. Of course, that was God's decree that he would indeed leave those bounds. The term mighty hunter before the Lord refers not to the hunting of game, but of men, to establish his own rebellious and imperial kingdom against the face of the Lord. And as to the building of his empire in the land of Shinar and his founding the two great enemies of Israel, the Assyrians and the Babylonians, we will see more of this in the next chapter. Then the other son is Mizraim, and Mizraim is simply the word that is often translated as Egypt. Okay, Egypt. And so those that are from northern Africa there, Egypt, and then Put is the northern Africans as well, moving westward from the land of Egypt today into the land of Libya and Morocco, going west along that southern Mediterranean shore. So that's Cush, that's Mizraim and Put, and then we have the cursed race of men, or the cursed family of men, the inhabitants of Canaan. And remember that Canaan was originally prescribed, along with his brethren, to remain in that place to the south and to the west of Ararat. But did Canaan stay there? No. In fact, we have a land named after them. We call it Canaan land, or the Canaanites, the land of the Canaanites. But that land was ceded already, as we've read, in that south and eastward movement, that one arm there that went into the land of Canaan and then all the way out to Media. That was given to the people of God, to the Shemites. And so the Canaanites and Nimrod both proved themselves to be usurpers upon the land that God gave to that covenant race of men, that covenant family of men. Okay? So these inhabitants make up that land promised to Abraham, a son of Shem, not too far hence. And not only that promise, but even before. And here we hear of this man whose name is Eber. Eber is the name from which most people would derive the term Hebrew. Okay, so Eber is the father of the Hebrews. And then also we have that, so that division in the people of Shem, in that day even. And then we have the division that takes place in Heber's son, whose name is Peleg, and he's named Peleg because Peleg means to divide, and the earth was divided into its many places and habitations in his day. All right, so then what do we see? We see that with regard to the Canaanites, that they proved to be a most rebellious people in that they usurped the land that God had given to others and took it to themselves. The Lord had commanded then three particular movements over the world. Okay, so let's go ahead and read in verses 21 and on. So we see the sons of Shem, the father of Eber, from which many derived the name Hebrew, and many of his descendants rest today in obscurity. Not too much can be said other than to his descendants was given the fertile patch of land from the Mediterranean Sea eastward to the great mountains of what is now called Iraq. So while Japheth went north and east and west, Ham went west and south, Shem was given that great land to the south and east of where the ark landed, in what is now called the Fertile Crescent and its environs. And as we shall see later on in our reading, the blessed estate of the line of the covenant. But Canaan and Nimrod both settled not in their lands divided to them and pressed their way into the lands divided by the Lord unto Shem instead. All right, so all of that to say this much. Remember that the world is still the Lord's, and Noah has been raised up in the place of Adam to subdue that world for the glory of God. The fall did not bring the creation mandate to an end. Rather, the tools the Lord gave to Adam were still in place. Marriage, family, labor, worship, and rest. All these existed before and after the flood. The people of God lost sight of this in the days of Noah and did not remain separate, and so the Lord destroyed them in a flood. The people of God intermingled, right? Intermarried with the daughters of men, that is, unbelieving wives they took to themselves. But now, once again, the earth is to be made full so that they might continue. Marriage, Sabbath, labor, and family. These still remain even after the flood. But we have a new development in the next chapter, don't we? As we come to the next chapter then, we will see the refusal of men to spread themselves over the face of the earth and do what God said, to go to the farthest reaches of this world and subdue it for his glory. They will not do that. Rather, they will defy the Lord. They will defy the Lord by gathering themselves together and, quote, making a name for themselves instead of making a name for God himself. And in so doing then, they will gather themselves together and they will make a tower that reaches to heaven. And why do they make that tower? They make that tower so in case God gets angry again and sends a flood, they'll have a place of refuge because they know they are defying the God of this world, the God who created all things. So they were told then to spread out and occupy the world and do it for my glory. They refused, however, and sought to make themselves a name. And that is exactly what the sons of Canaan did in microcosm, right? When Nimrod went out and the rest of the Canaanites went into lands not given to them, they usurped that which God had given to them. They, like Dan, to follow them, will not be happy with their inheritance, and so they will go and displace others instead. And they will lose, Dan will lose its place in the recounting of the 12 tribes in the book of Revelation, I believe, for that very reason. And so we have the same here, then, these men, Nimrod, and also Canaan himself, as his descendants go and settle in lands not their own, unhappy with the inheritance and lot that God had given them. All right, thus ends the reading of Genesis chapter 10. I mean, there's